Staining It Live with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.
No, we have special guest Eugenie Sage.
Green MP.
Far out, we've gone straight to the top here. How's it going?
Kia ora, really well, thank you.
Thanks for taking the time to have a chat to 95 BFM. Now, it's regarding this big old budget, isn't it?
Yes, indeed, and the $1.1 billion for nature-based jobs. And that really shows the power of the Green Party being at the heart of government, because we pushed for that and we got it. And really like to acknowledge the work of people like Greenpeace, Forest and Bird, Range of Iwi and Hapu, and councils who were also calling for a green reset as part of the COVID response and recovery.
I mean, what does a green job look like in 2020?
Yeah, in 2020, well, we have a major biodiversity crisis, a nature crisis in Aotearoa and around the world. We've got 4,000 species of plants and wildlife here in Aotearoa which are threatened or at risk of extinction. Habitat loss and predators are a major cause of that. So there's a huge amount of mahi that can be done in controlling weeds like old man's beard, getting rid of wild and conifers, that's where you get pines spreading across the landscape in places they're not wanted, and doing a lot of predator control work for rats, possums and stoats, and working on huts and tracks on conservation land.
What's a predator control going to look like for the rats and the stoats? Because obviously they're so detrimental to the native bird life.
So there's a lot of work that Te Papa Arawhai, Department of Conservation, does using aircraft and aerial drops.
1080?
Yes, 1080, about a teaspoon per hectare of the toxin. Much reduced sowing rates in terms of the amount of toxin compared to, say, the 1970s. Mm. So that's over a lot of backcountry areas that are much more difficult to access. But in areas around settlements, more in the front country, there's quite a comprehensive network of traps, and so it's helping with those. And particularly recently in Pukaha, near Palmerston North, Mount Bruce, it used to be called, there wasn't trapping done during alert level 3 because people weren't getting out. And so there, ferrets killed several kiwi. So it's this predator control work is absolutely critical in giving species like kiwi and kakariki a fighting chance.
Over the Christmas break, I spent some time up north with a dock ranger and his family, and he said 1080 is kind of the only way that you can feasibly get some of these predators under control. He said, you can trap all you like, but if you want to make a dent in it, you do have to 1080 the crap out of it.
He's totally right. Mm. It is the most effective tool in the toolbox because it can be done over large areas. And it is only the equivalent of a teaspoon of the toxin that's mixed in with the cereal bait per hectare. One of the other really big areas for nature-based jobs is in terms of wetland restoration and riparian planting. A lot of farmers now are getting into planting the margins of streams on their land to help prevent sediment getting into the river, reduce sediment pollution and nutrient pollution. And wetlands, we've lost 90% of our wetlands, yet they are hugely important.
Is that like mangroves and stuff?
More freshwater wetlands, areas of Raupo and the like, but mangroves also, I know some people don't like them.
God, I'm a big fan of mangroves. Really, who doesn't like them?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of them as well. No, there have been people at Whangamatar in Coromandel, and the Thames Coromandel District Council wants the ability to go out and slash mangroves because they
want to get the boat out.
They want to get the boat out.
But what about, man, it's so good having like a little kayak in between mangroves and stuff.
Yeah, because they're critical. They're cool plants, the way they put up to get oxygen, and just they're often a nursery area for fish.
Yes.
And it's really beautiful going amongst them at night too, because you can see a lot of the wildlife you wouldn't see during the day. You often find them in estuaries because we've taken the forest off the land, all the sediment that's come down ends up in the estuary. Mangroves colonise that. So if we hadn't deforested our hills, we wouldn't have the mangrove spread that we have.
Interesting.
So it's
it's nature's way of like trying to cope with the
crap. Correct.
Interesting.
Okay. Now, riparian planting. Riparian planting is more substantial than just a couple of flax bushes down the side of a creek or a river. The band is actually quite big. What's the riparian planting going to look like thanks to this budget?
So we want to, working with Ministry for the Environment, Department of Conservation and Ministry of Primary Industries through a big sustainable land and water program, really increase the amount of riparian planting. You're totally right. Some people initially would only just do maybe a couple of metres. But if you have it at least 10 and desirably 20 metres on either side, you get a lot of shading of the stream, which reduces water temperatures, which means it's much more inhabitable for fish, means insects drop into the stream, gives fish and other aquatic life something to eat, and it provides a corridor for insects and birds and other wildlife to move through the landscape. So the bigger the better, and if they're densely planted, you don't get the invasion of things like blackberry and gorse.
What about parts of the farms, you know, the gullies and stuff like that, which get so flooded during the heavy rain, but, you know, like, what, 90% of the rest of the year there's not enough rainfall to cause a problem, but you know, those gullies which suddenly do fill up all the streams with rubbish when they do have a heavy rainfall?
So getting... Because what happened in colonisation in New Zealand, there were lots of steep country right throughout Aotearoa, which was cleared of forest and was really too steep to graze. And in areas like the east coast now, people are finding that manuka regeneration, both with honey and manuka oil, is providing an alternative income, where 40 years ago it was perhaps grazed with sheep and beef. And so it's getting plantings on those steeper slopes, retiring them from grazing, and then you're right, in gullies, smart farmers have often retired those areas, planted them up, fenced stock out, because it stops the stock getting into trouble in them, and it's also, they are the areas that are often more vulnerable to erosion, sliding when there's heavy rain, and if you've got forest cover on it, it slows the water runoff. And similarly, wetlands too, in areas at the base of hill slopes where you can flow the water, and wetlands are great natural sponges and natural filters.
Now, I didn't realise we had a wallaby problem.
Yep.
Oh, man, it's South Island mostly, isn't it?
No.
Okay.
Also, there are the little Dharma wallaby. They look really cute, but they are a problem through the Bay of Plenty in the Rotorua area.
They're, really?
And a lot of the forest there.
They're like rabbits, eh? They just go hard.
Yes.
Do we need to be hunting a bit more, these things specifically? Like go out on a big hunt, kind of like whacking day type thing?
Well, you've got to be humane in terms of dispensing with these. So wallabies are actually, and then so in the South Island, in Otago and Canterbury, they're the bigger Bennett's wallaby. And they are generally quite solitary and quite wary. So
How big are we talking? Sorry.
Pardon?
How big are we talking? Like up to my knee?
The smaller ones, the dharmas, are probably about up to your knee. And the bigger ones, a bit bigger than that.
Ooh, getting up there then. Okay.
And so they can eat the equivalent of a sheep, so farmers don't like them. And by spreading through the forest, they're browsing the understory in the same way that possums browse in the canopy. And so really impeding regeneration and contributing to really unhealthy forests through the Waikato and Bay of Plenty and tussock grasslands and shrublands down in Canterbury and Otago. So we're spending $27 million over 4 years on controlling them, probably with professional hunters rather than recreational.
Ah, there you go. Also, they just look weird as well. They're not supposed to be here.
Well, they're not supposed to be there.
It Governor
Gray bought quite a few. They're on Powell Island too.
Ah, far out. So how did they actually get here? You did Governor Gray, what?
He bought some of them and then...
How long ago was this?
Ages ago.
Right.
We have a history in New Zealand of people introducing species from overseas to remind them of Mother England and other parts, rather than really recognising how many really special plants and wildlife we have here that are only found here, which is why we need to control these predators and pests.
Now, there's something else in the budget. There's $100 million for extensive wilding conifer control on public and private land. What's wilding conifer?
So pine trees, think pine trees, Douglas firs, which when the big hydro schemes were done around Lake Pukaki and Tekapo, the Ministry of Works thought it would be a good idea to do amenity planting. So they planted a whole lot of pine trees, and those have really spread, and it means they're replacing tussock grasslands, so we get a North American landscape instead of a New Zealand one.
Right.
And similarly, there's been spread around the Central Plateau, Tongariro, Ruapehu area, and so volunteers have done a lot of work there in Marlborough, Otago, Canterbury, controlling the spread, but they're also really damaging because pines soak up a lot of water, so it reduces the runoff into streams. So they're a $4.6 billion problem if left to spread. So this money will go to helping people like forestry workers get new jobs and cutting down these wilding conifers.
Eugenie, someone's actually just texted in regarding that. Obviously, you're talking about wilding pines, right?
That's yep. Yeah.
Can someone ask Ms. Sage why the public should pay to clear wilding pines, which lazy forestry operations have caused?
Good question. And one of the challenges with the RMA is that often these pines were planted, they were given consent by the councils, and then there haven't been adequate controls on their spread.
Yes.
But a lot of the conifer problems, particularly in areas like the Mackenzie Basin, go back not to forestry operations but to these Ministry of Works plantings.
Okay.
And now councils are a lot more careful about evaluating what sort of species are planted and what the wilding conifer risk is. And government is also going to review what's called the National Environmental Standard for Plantation Forestry, which has some more controls to try and avoid wilding spread.
Mm. Someone's also texted in saying they're great on the barbecue. That must be regarding
wallabies. I think, not wilding conifers. Yeah. Though the wilding conifers are good providing the fuel for the barbecue.
Now, there's $200 million for jobs for nature, Jobs for Nature Fund for DOC to partner with councils, tourism businesses, iwi and hapu, and communities to provide nature-based jobs. I mean, what sort of tourism things? Because obviously the tourism is a big part of our economy. What sort of tourism jobs will there be?
Sorry, that may not have come out as clearly as it should have in our press release. It's in areas like Queenstown and Rotorua, where there's been, like in Franz Josef as well, South Westland, guiding company employing, say, 53 staff, I think, in Fox. Those people have got a lot of skills in the outdoors because they're often guiding people, obviously. So it's what are the opportunities for them to work on things like track construction and to work in weed and pest control as well. So this nature-based fund is about DOC working in partnership with businesses, and maybe some of their staff could be redeployed to work on these projects until our borders are reopened, until we perhaps get a bubble with Australia and right. they can have their jobs back in tourism. Iwi similarly have come to Te Papa Atawhai with a lot of ideas for wetland restoration, for natural enhancement projects, for pest control, and so how do we work with them so that they might be employing folk and Te Papa Atawhai is providing the funding. So it's working in partnership with a lot of other organisations to provide new jobs.
Conservation Minister Eugenie Sage, thanks so much for joining us on 95 BFM.
Thank you for the invitation.
Really, really appreciate it.
Pumarie.
Right on.
Thank you.
Bye.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.